Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me. So thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down and check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Thanks, Elliot, and thanks again for having me.
No worries.
Really appreciate it. So, my name is Andrew Slocum. I'm the founder and managing director of Wood Buffalo Clothing Company.
Okay, so what does that mean? What's Wood Buffalo Clothing in regards to, are we talking t-shirts, jeans, pants, hats? Like, what does clothing, like, mean?
Well, if we focus on the niche of it all, really our goal is to provide ethical and sustainable clothing manufactured overseas, as most clothing is.
Yeah.
And what we want to do is promote the proper practice in manufacturing, because as we know, in emerging markets, the standards are fairly low in regards to wages, in regards to environmental factors, in regards to carbon emissions, etc.
Yeah.
And as we become more environmentally conscious in North America and Europe and the Western markets, we want to start a trend where people are focusing more on the entire life cycle of their clothing. Now, it's funny how I ended up in this doing this, because I've always had an affinity for commerce, and I wanted to start my own company. I've had a few labor companies, service companies in the past in my 20s. You know, my first company I ended up folding. The second one I sold off the assets, and got my guys jobs at some sub-suppliers.
Yeah.
And I've been working for wages for the last little while, but I really want to get back into the whole my own business sort of mentality.
Yeah.
And just the embodiment of working for yourself again.
That's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of
it's
fun.
A lot of fun.
It's very fulfilling.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I love it myself. Like, I can't imagine going back to a normal 9-to-5. Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, and I did it for years, and like, companies on a very regular basis try to get me to come back, but I'm just like, man, I can't do it.
No, right?
Yeah, because it's just a matter of being in one set location from start to finish. And like, I can do so much with my time, but when you just have like your traditional job, and they're awesome, you're responsible for like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and then the outside thinking and like hustling outside of what the parameters of your sandbox are.
Absolutely.
Is tough. So when you're in like your own organization and you can say, oh, I can work on marketing, I can like talk to my accountant, I can like do all these different things, like, it's exciting.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And I think the key word is the sandbox. You know, if you have an entrepreneurial spirit by nature, working for wages is essentially stuck in a sandbox. That's not even your own sandbox, and that's not to say there's anything wrong with that.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
But
perfect Seinfeld line. Not to say there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I just find it so much more gratifying being accountable to myself, to my partners, to my directors, as opposed to being accountable to a frontline manager or, you know, a VP of sorts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
how did this all begin for you? Like, I understand, like, you like to start companies, you're like a good manager of people, assets, human resources. Mm-hmm. How did you get into the clothing component? Because very different from trades, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, speaking of trades, I'm a millwright by trade, so
okay.
Really the clothing. And so I've I find if I'm not being challenged, I tend to stagnate a little bit. We can call it professional ADD. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been in the pump industry for probably the last 10, 15 years. I've ran facilities, I've ran crews, I've ran operations and projects. But really, when I picked clothing about 2.5 years ago, I had lost my job. And my wife can speak to how annoying I can get when I'm just sitting around the house waiting.
Yep.
And I was really waiting for the right opportunity. I mean, I was fairly blessed in that I didn't need to find a job immediately. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was waiting for the right opportunity to come along. But in order to keep myself occupied, I started to build a corporate structure around essentially my experiences and what I felt a lot of these public traded companies were doing wrong. Yeah. So instead of saying I'm gonna do everything way better, I'm gonna build a company that doesn't have these gaps. And so, you know, I leveraged my experience, my training, the Lean Six Sigma training, the operational training, everything that I had gained over the years. And so here I was sitting with an infrastructure. And I really needed to put a product into that. So I kind of built it backwards. You know, most people will build on their technical abilities. So, I mean, the obvious choice for me would have been to start marketing equipment, process equipment, pumps, gearboxes, etc. And we're amazingly placed for that kind of business, mm-hmm. Being in McMurray with the oil sands adjacent. However, I started thinking about, you know, really where I wanted to go and what sort of impact I wanted to have, essentially, and what level of impact I wanted to have. So do I want to, you know, impact the regional market? Do I want to work with people around here? Of course I do. But I started to think a little bit bigger. And so I started to do a bunch of market research on what the largest industries were, mm-hmm. what the largest polluting industries were, what the largest growth industries were. And I took a hard look at my capabilities and my resources, and I settled on clothing because clothing is going to be one of the larger growth industries for the next 5 years.
Okay.
It is a $1.7 trillion a year industry. Yeah. So though it's cutthroat, there's lots of room to play in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the largest polluters in the world as far as production goes. And I mean, we can get right down into the nitty-gritty of sweatshops and child labor and you know, poor environmental practices. And I think, you know, based on my experience, because I actually grew up in West Africa and I spent 2 or 3 years in Bangladesh, so, you know, I saw these factories.
Mm.
And so what I started to do was a little bit more research in how things are produced, where the textiles are sourced, how the textiles are manufactured, and really saw that, you know, the chemical components in the processes are very harsh. The disposal process is it's just dumping it into the waterways.
Mm.
And, you know, we're very blessed to live where we are and have the standards that we do. You know, and to speak to that, I think the indigenous people in the region are doing a phenomenal job at fostering, you know, the care for the land on everybody's behalf,
mm-hmm.
you know, holding the big producers to task. And kudos for them for working with Aboriginal people. But I want to shift, and here's my pie in the sky dream.
Yeah.
The global mentality to let's bring what we have here as far as our blessing to those markets over there, because I can assure you, and I'm not sure if you had a chance to review the draft of my website, but there is a little blurb about me. And you know, I had lost my parents when I was 16 and 18, my father first and my mother, because my father was an agriculturalist, and so he was working in Mali, West Africa. And he was in foreign aid and development, and he was essentially teaching modern farming practices to the people in that region.
Mm.
And so what was happening is the pesticides that weren't passing QC in North America and Europe were being shipped to those markets. Because believe me, they're not going to lose a dime if they don't have to. Right. And essentially what ended up happening is this pesticide and chemical exposure ended up giving my parents esophageal cancer, and they died within 2 years of each other. And it was odd when we went to the hospital. I'm from Montreal originally.
Yeah.
And so we went to the Jewish General Hospital in Montreal, and my parents were assessed and diagnosed, and they the doctors were very they thought it was very strange. They said, you know, the type of cancer you have typically impacts males from this region in West Africa. And you know, so poor environmental practices, though that's agriculture and I'm talking about production, affect everybody.
Yeah.
And I mean, who's advocating on behalf of those, you know, West African males or those people in Pakistan or those people in China? You know, and though you and I might have a very small voice individually, our consumer habits and our spend speak volumes.
Yeah.
So if we can start focusing on, you know, a holistic, sustainable, cradle to grave product that, you know, elevates people, doesn't damage the planet, I think that's really the way to go. And what we're trying to do in our development is to keep the price of the product realistic. I mean, we want to make sure that this is accessible to everybody. So some of our designs, you know, we're using more say wood-based, you know, cellulose, tensile for stretchability. It is a little bit more expensive in the manufacturing process, but not being a publicly traded company, we can set our margins fairly reasonably and provide this kind of service and this kind of product to people, you know, consumers en masse.
Yeah, very cool. Well, listen, man, I got loads of questions for you. Unfortunately, Tanner tapped his phone. That means he's ready with his segment called the Max City Minute, sponsored by Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Tanner, hit him with the Max City Minute.
Unfortunately, hey?
Yeah. Well, I got so many questions, and I'm going to forget all of them
hey,
by
bro,
time you ask your questions.
We can come back when we're closer to launch.
Yeah, man, definitely. Please do.
Question number one for you today. What do you think is the best place to wear a pair of jeans?
Man. Wow. You know, anywhere, really.
Question number two. What has been your favorite part of being in the fashion industry?
Being able to wear these slick pants, dude.
Question number three. What was the most interesting part of growing up in West Africa for you?
My wife's sitting right next to you, so I'll say the culture.
Yeah.
Question number four. What is your go-to after dinner treat?
Well, I'm doing keto, so that's fairly limited. But I did have these peanut butter based, what were they that Reba made?
Cannolis.
So that was definitely my go-to.
And your final question, if you could have any one person wear your jeans, who would you want to wear them?
William Shatner.
Those have been your five questions.
Nice. Now, something you said at the beginning, like sometimes people say things that really like pique my curiosity just because I have some knowledge of it. You went to Six Sigma training.
I did, yeah.
Where did you take that?
I took it online through SGI. It was I got my green belt. I didn't go all the way to the black belt.
Right.
But that was sufficient, I think, for what I was doing at the time.
Wild. And so, like, most people are on this are not going to know what we're talking about right now, but the people who do know will. And I have a lot of, like, I used to be the HR manager for Acuren, so that was one of the things, like, if somebody had that on their resume, or if a supervisor said they wanted to go for that training, I was just like,
oh, 100%.
Go. It's wildly impressive how it trains your brain to look at things differently.
It does, absolutely. And so, back in 99, when I first got my Millwright ticket, I was born in Montreal, but I worked in Ontario quite a bit after we got back from Africa. And so I worked for a company that was a Toyota subsidiary.
Yeah.
And that's where I was exposed to the Lean Six Sigma mentality. And so that's how we first got into it. But I think it's been a huge asset. It's not overly expensive to take, but the value is just immense.
It's huge. Everybody that I know who's taken it has just, like, how you're structuring your company, how you're talking about it, like, what's important. That's a large basis of that training that
you received. Like, just-in-time delivery, supply chain. I mean, we could talk all day, man.
This That's exactly it. And we won't bore the audience. But, like, yeah, that's very interesting that you have that based on, like, the fact that, like you said, you started as a millwright. So. Yeah. Wow, so was that given while you were being a millwright, or did you find that course when you came to
Murray? How did that... I must have been pretty inept on the tools, because I was promoted fairly quickly, and you know how it goes, right? Yeah. They'll take the worst guy on the crew and promote him.
Right.
And no offense to any general managers out there, but we know.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. No,
I did move up in the ranks fairly quickly.
Yeah, yeah, very cool. So what brought you to Fort McMurray?
Work, actually. I mean, I sort of... When I got back from Africa, and again, you know, my parents, and so being 18 years old and really with no prospects, no real education, my uncle got me a job at this company, which was a Toyota subsidiary. I worked my way through as a laborer. Mm-hmm. You know, basically, we were putting up a lot of storage equipment, as, you know, Ontario is known to do. And so I would be vacuuming holes and things of that nature. And they got me my millwright ticket. And then not long after, I was pushing a crew, and then I was in project management, and then I moved up into department manager, and then there was an opportunity to take a position with them in Edmonton. This was in 08, so I moved out to Edmonton with that same company, and then the financial crash happened, and unfortunately I lost. Well, they gave me an offer. I could have either gone back on the tools as a crew lead, or I could take a package. And again, my professional ADD kicked in. I want to do something new. I'm in Alberta. I want to go play with some big equipment. Went back to SAIT, brushed up on my on some of my credentials, and came out with Local 1460, and been working up here on the tools for a little bit. Then you know, once my wife got pregnant with our first daughter, I couldn't really sustain that travel anymore. So I took a job working for wages, and then back into management fairly quickly.
Sweet. Right move.
Yeah, right. I know. I love it. It's amazing.
Because, like, the biggest thing with the commuting long term is just not, it's you can't do it and have a relationship and in a family. No. You just can't commute back and forth. You have to, as a unit, be together.
Right.
Not to say you can't do it. A lot of people try, but it very rarely works out in the long run.
Yeah. Well, Vicky and I, we got used to the life, right? But what it was really, what tugged on the heartstrings were when my first daughter was born, and I would come home and she wouldn't recognize me.
Yeah.
And I was like, this ain't gonna fly.
Yeah. You
know? So no, I took obviously a huge pay cut. Started working for wages, you know, as opposed to the big money on the 24s and 4, and everybody knows what it was like back in 08.
That's it.
You know, I had to sell off a bunch of our stuff to make ends meet, downgraded quite a bit. But you know what, man? Just follow your nose and it'll take you to the right place. Just as long as you don't stop, you'll end up back where you're supposed to be. Yeah. And, you know, I can't complain. Life has been good. Fort Mac's been phenomenal to me and my family.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though my business isn't sort of around what Fort Mac is all about, we have, I think, the highest percentage of talent per capita than anywhere in the world. I mean, my business coach has a PhD in economics, and he helps me out of the kindness of his heart.
Yeah.
You know, we have you doing this for me, which is huge, and I hope it's mutually beneficial.
Yeah, man, but, definitely.
You know, this is going on my social media as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the outpouring of support from local entrepreneurs, because they've all seen, you know, this guy spending his life savings and my wife on you know, making it happen.
Yeah.
They completely support. I don't think we could find a better place in the world for doing a startup like this.
Yeah, man, that's cool. And it's very true about Fort McMurray, and I say this all the time, like, you can do anything here. Like, Fort McMurray offers you the opportunity
Absolutely.
To do anything. You might not succeed.
Nope.
But, like, if you want to be a firefighter, if you want to start a clothing manufacturer, if you want to work
throw raves,
get up to Tanner. Yeah, like, you can do that. and the community rallies behind you and supports you as much as they can. Like, Absolutely. It's a pretty cool part of the world. There's no
doubt. It is. It's great.
Yeah.
And it's so diverse, too. I mean, you don't just have... It's not just a blue-collar town.
Yeah.
I mean, again, PhD in economics. I mean, you're HR by trade. And,
yeah.
And just such a diversity. So, really, it's such a great way. If you know how to leverage what's around you, you can build such a holistic approach and a holistic company.
Yeah.
That, you know, again, truly blessed,
man. Yeah, very cool. Now, in regards to fashion, obviously you had to have some form of like toe in the water. Like, what were you like? I like to dress and try on new looks and do things. So where did that originally start? Are you watching like TV? Are you reading magazines? Like, what's influencing like you looking at fashion?
So I don't know if you're familiar with the Simpsons episode where Homer designed the car for
Uncle Fred. Yep. One of my favorite episodes. Yep.
If I designed pants, they would be Homer's car, and it would bankrupt us.
Yeah.
I give the credit fully to my wife, mm-hmm. who is in charge of our design, and our business partners, because we do it collaboratively.
Okay.
But honestly, I picked the industry based purely on market research and environmental impact. Nice. Really, it was a complete business decision.
Yeah.
It is really the team that's propping up the design.
That's awesome.
So
it's so true. Like, I'll do a little plug for myself, which I never hardly
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
So I own a company called Greenlight Creative, and we work in tons of different industries. But that's the one thing that we pull together is, like, once you have a good team mm-hmm. and you have process, you can move from clothing to oil and gas to manufacturing. Like, you can move it once yes. you have that core group, and you learned how to do that in that Six Sigma training. Anyways, Tanner tapped his watch. That means we're out of time. So before I cut you loose, though, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
I watch your show regularly, and I thought a lot about who I was going to plug. And as much as I'd love to plug some of the retailers that I work with, I have to plug Fair and Square Printing. Farron, he's been phenomenal in helping me get my designs done. He makes the leather patches for me that I send to my manufacturers overseas.
Cool.
We are doing the proofs for the hanging tags. He made a banner for me in about 6 hours that Tanner didn't let me put up. So shout out to Farron at Farron Square Printing.
There we go. Awesome. Well, for McMurray Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Max City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Petrulli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Hope everybody's having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
About quenching your ugly thirst.
Hi everyone, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.